Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dan Fogelberg.
An only child alone and wild, a cabinet maker's son.
Dan Fogelberg passed away this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Too young age of 56, I think. I don't want to bum us out, but it makes me sad. And by the way, that song is about a relationship between him and his dad. It's from the Innocent Age album. Go to your favorite record store, go online, wherever, and order the Innocent Age album. It's a double album, and It's an outstanding. It's the best thing I've ever seen. I actually had it in tape, on a cassette tape, and I wore one of them out and bought another one. This was before CDs. It's about a 25-year-old album, and I encourage you to check it out. Michael Chandler is our guest. Michael actually lives where not that far away from Dan. I think Mike is the author of Dreamweaving: The Secret of Overwhelming Your Business Competition. This guy has got the goods, ladies and gentlemen. He has won 41 Silver Microphone Awards for Outstanding Advertising. He's a member of our Brain Trust and our good friend. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners from snowy western Colorado.
Merry Christmas to you, and I'm pretty sure Dan Fogelberg was one of your fellow Coloradans.
Well, I know that I, too, am a fan of his, and one thing's for certain, the guy certainly appreciated and loved life, all aspects of it. And
yep.
Maybe this morning you and I can visit so your listeners have an opportunity to re-seize life and exceed even their own business expectations in the coming year.
I like the way that sounds. What you got for us?
Well, I'm sitting here in our family living room. It's still quite dark here in Colorado, looking at our decorated Christmas tree. And that inspires me to perhaps share a couple suggestions to those listening this morning, the businesswomen and men who are charged with earning a living for their own families and for the families of their employees. It's a large responsibility, and one I think your listeners relish, but also understand the gravity of competing in today's superheated marketplace. So I had a couple things I wanted to throw out to your listeners, and if they choose to use them as they move forward into the next year, I, from my own experience, have found that if you do embrace these gifts that I'm about to share with you, that you do have an opportunity, each of you in your own businesses, to exceed even your own wildest expectations. So, with your permission, Jim.
Absolutely. We like free things, especially during the holidays.
All right. May I suggest to those who are charged with successfully operating a small business that let me throw something out to you, and then I'll share the gifts. Many of us as business people do everything we can every day to be logical and pragmatic and empirical and numbers-driven, and we certainly want our decisions to be logical, rational, and we apply our skills in that way. And we also do that in our advertising. We want to make logical statements and share that with the public. I want to throw out to those of you listening that from the customer's point of view, which is the only point of view that counts in our business,
That's right.
There isn't a single buying decision that each one of your customers, and you for that matter, there isn't a single buying decision that isn't based primarily on emotion and justified all the way home with logic. It is the reverse of what most business people mm-hmm. see as the right thing to do. I must be logical. Mm-hmm. But if you visit with your customers and listen to them, you'll discover that everything they buy is based upon, do they like it?
The whole concept of branding is an emotional thing, isn't it?
All of it. So, given that, I can suggest to each of you that I already know, even though we're now visiting for the first time this Christmas of 2007, I can suggest to all of you that I already know what every one of your customers is seeking more than anything else in their life, and that includes Jim and me. I already know what it is because it's universal with human beings, and I believe we're all human beings, and that is each of us is searching for another individual who cares, C-A-R-E, who cares about us. That's what we search for. Everything that we gather to us is on the road to finding someone who cares about us. And so it applies to retail, and actually it's all retail.
Isn't that the only thing in the marketplace that's not a commodity? Isn't virtually everything else in the marketplace a commodity? The goods we buy, the things we consume, the money we use, even the time that we have is a commodity. Isn't that personal interaction the only thing that's not a commodity?
Thanks for saying that, Jim. You couldn't be more correct, especially with the advent of the Internet, which is now probably coming close to being the fifth mass medium. Everything is a commodity. So how do we distinguish ourselves? And that is positioning ourselves as being a business that cares. Now, you say, what do you mean care? The human beings, as they seek someone who cares about them, ultimately what they wish to have, what they wish to possess, is being happier and better off. If your product or service does not eventually provide the customer with happiness or being better off, the product will not be sold, no matter how compelling your argument. That's what I, as a customer,
and it could for. And it could come from the happiness that's derived. Not what you provide them might not be directly happiness. You might provide them peace of mind that then converts into happiness.
Absolutely, but ultimately, it may give them peace of mind or comfort or whatever. But the ultimate wish is, now that I have peace of mind and comfort, I am happier than I was before. My relationship with this company or this product.
And don't we want, Michael? Don't we want, once we buy a product and we consume it and we use it and it's giving us these feelings that you're talking about? Don't we also want to think about the person who helped us have this and so that we can have a good feeling about that? Isn't that something we want too?
Absolutely. If the other person, if the business person has made effort to care about me, therefore I'm happier and better off, then I, in turn, as a human being, it's human nature, will return the favor, for lack of a better phrase, the favor to the business who has helped me on this path. That favor is by becoming loyal to that business.
Absolutely. And when we come back, I want to get Michael to talk to us about whether it's our nature to want to be loyal. Is there an ROI to loyalty? Is that a best practice that we ought to be trying to nurture and to cultivate? 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, remembering Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen.
Waving, and you'll see any number of sites where they can get additional information.
All right. Lots of good stuff there. You're talking, Michael, you were talking to us about getting our customers to be loyal to us, to get them to be devoted and dedicated to us. And so my question is what do you think that loyalty has become? I think it's in our human beings' nature to be loyal, but I think in the 21st century, Michael, it's become a best practice, not just a best practice for businesses, but it's become a best practice for consumers, because with everything else moving so fast, if we can find a company to be loyal to because they do a good job, because they care about us, as you said, it saves us time, doesn't it?
I think some people think that loyalty is old-fashioned, doesn't exist anymore. I can assure each of you that Jim is correct. Loyalty is as strong, if perhaps even stronger, than ever. The key, ladies and gentlemen, is if you get back what you give out, you must first be loyal to your customer. They will then turn around and be loyal to you. Now, people say, well, how do you gain that sort of loyalty? There are three easy steps, and these are part of the three of some of the gifts I want to give you for Christmas. The key to developing loyalty is on this road of showing that you care about another human being, which makes them happier and better off. The three steps to building loyalty to your business and to your product, step number one, and they must occur in this order. If they don't, you'll never get the loyalty you seek. Step number one, you must genuinely listen to your customer. And I don't mean like your teenager looks at you when you say, stop for a minute, I'm going to get you to pick up the socks in the hallway, listen to me. And they may be looking at you, but you can tell they're thinking about their date on Saturday night. Listen to your customer. That's step one. After you genuinely listen to your customer, you will understand what is important to your customer because you listened. Only then do you go to the third step, and that is, that's when you begin to talk. Listen, understand, and only then talk. When we advertise or when we try to communicate with our customers, most businesses make the error of going right to the talking. Talking about themselves and their product and how good their product
and how, is. And or maybe even how you perceive the problem, what you perceive the problem to be, likely not correctly.
That's right, because you haven't listened to the customer. You don't know what their problem is because you don't understand, because you didn't listen. Therefore, your talk is irrelevant and probably irritating. Listen,
what do you think about the first step of your third step, the first part of the third step, 3A, let's say, when you start talking, should be to restate what they have told you to make sure you
absolutely
got it right. What do you think?
If you get into therapy, marriage counseling, the marriage counselor will always encourage you, listen to what your spouse or your significant other is saying, and then when you say, all right, I got it, then the counselor will say, all right, now look at your significant other and repeat the high points of what you just heard.
You mean I'm supposed to do this with my wife too, Michael?
Please. And if you're a little foggy on that, Jim, why don't you ask her tonight how she feels?
I don't have to ask her. I get that anyway.
She'll tell you.
Just teasing, ladies. We're just having some fun here. All right, go ahead, Michael.
Let me give you one other gift. Jim was mentioning this book on Dreamweaving. It's certainly, hopefully, interesting from the business point of view. Jim was telling me during the break of a story of when he and a friend of his visited Glenwood Springs, which is quite near where I live, and they visited a tavern out of curiosity named after Tombstone gunfighter Doc Holliday. And I'll let Jim, if and when he decides to, share the story with you. But I wanted everyone to know that this April, if you finish Dreamweaving and are looking for another hopeful source of entertainment, my first novel is being published by Pelican, and it is a Western, and it includes Doc Holliday, and it is called Kincaid's Blood. It's being sold on the Internet now, Barnes & Noble and Amazon. But Jim, that book is made for someone like you who's a fan of Gunfighter Doc Holliday.
Well,
Kincaid's Blood.
And you are also a professional gunfighter, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Although the more I fall off of horses and off of buildings, the worse my back feels. So.
But you are a stunt gunfighter, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I've been doing stunt gunfighting for about 30 years now.
So how fast are you? Could you have taken Doc?
The key to being fast isn't so much the speed with the pistol, it's how sneaky you are.
Getting to the pistol?
Sneaky guy.
Yeah, okay. All right. I've always kind of felt that about you, Michael.
I could sense that.
You were kind of a sneaky guy. So, okay, let's go over those three things real quickly. First, you got to what?
Listen, understand, and then tell.
And then tell. But the first thing you ask, the first thing you say when you talk is to repeat what you think the problem is.
That's
and get it right.
After you listen, get them to repeat.
And if you didn't get it right, start it all over again. Hey, Michael, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Merry Christmas, Jim.
You too, sir. See you next time. Michael Chandler, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back after these messages with John Jantz. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.